Amen. Jesus said when he was on the cross, "I thirst." And as Calvin was prophesying and preaching and under the unction of the Holy Ghost that came to me, as he hung on the cross, "I thirst." And I've been saying that this past week to my wife, and I've been saying, you know, I am thirsty and I am hungry for righteousness. I'm just not satisfied with the way I'm living my life, going to work, coming to the church, just the routine of it all. I hunger and I thirst for righteousness. And I've been saying to my wife, I'm so hungry and thirsty. I just want to go to Bible school somewhere and just be taught all over again and be born again. I'm just so hungry and thirsty for the things of righteousness. And it's almost like an anxiousness and urgency to just get into the Word more. However, because of the job and the kids and everything else in life that goes on, I found that to be almost most difficult in this season of my life. But I still have that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And tonight, in my heart, I just have a healing message, because things have been happening to me and at work and in my body. And I was attacked in my body, I think it was Monday, all day Monday. Even coworkers were saying that, you look flushed. Are you okay? No, I'm okay. I'm just feeling kind of sick, and I don't know why. Maybe it's this cold that's going around. I don't know. But I'll be all right. And the day was over Monday afternoon, and so I went home, and I was still feeling this, I don't know what it was, this thing on my body. And I would say to the Lord, what's wrong with me? I just don't feel good. But just the day before yesterday, I was telling Maria Luisa, you know, I feel so good. I feel young. I feel blessed. I feel content. And here today, I feel so sick, and something's wrong with my body. So that night I went to bed, and I went to bed early, body aches and all, and I was off and on, would wake up. And so, you know, it was 4 o'clock in the morning by then, and I said, I just say the word over my body. Lord, you said in your word that I've been set free from sin and death, and I declare healing on my body. And I'm going to go pick up my blood pressure cup, because I have one at home. I have two of them, one digital and one manual. I know how to use both. And so I did my blood pressure, and lo and behold, it was high. And I don't have high blood pressure. And it scared me. And I'll be honest with you, I was concerned. I said, Lord, so this is what's been bothering me. This thing, this thing is on me. I want it off of me. And get off of me in Jesus' name. And so I fought and struggled, and no, it didn't go away. So in the morning, it was still high. I think it was 142 over 92. I don't run that high. I usually run 117 over 70-some. And so I went to work that way. So I checked my blood pressure at work, and it was still high, 144 over 92. The more you look at the circumstance in the situation that you're confronting you, the worse it gets, it felt like. So I told my supervisor, you know what? This and this is happening to me. She said, get out of here. So she sent me home. So I drive home and I come see the doctor, and I go to the doctor, and my blood pressure was normal. That was most embarrassing. Here I am, a man of faith, and it's like fear sets in, and fear and doubt. But what's today, Tuesday? Monday night it happened again, though. And it went back up again. And this morning I woke up with a headache. And I said, Lord, I'm so weak. I ask you forgiveness for not being in the Word like I ought to be in, and for not praying as I ought. But you know, Lord, that I've been so busy. I've just been so busy, Lord. Please forgive me. And then the devil comes in and he's been, you know how he is. Well, you know you're 50 years old now. You know what they say, that once you're 50, everything starts going downhill. I'm not going to agree to that, you lying devil. Lies, lies, lies. That's right. But it's been a battle and a struggle. Anyhow, my blood pressure is fine now, and I know I'm healed. But, you know, at the same time, I think about the people. And I say to myself, if I go through this struggle, what about the people who don't know Jesus? What about the people who don't know how to call upon Jesus and get that result and get that healing that's already available? It's just there. And it hit me. I said, Lord, I repent. Kathy Creek said this once. She said that the Mexicans are responsible for the nation of Mexico. And the Americans are responsible for the nation of America. I know I'm a Mexican by race, but I consider myself an American, which I am. And I believe we're responsible for the United States of America. It's in me. It's been in me for God knows a few years now. And it's just an urgency. You have to tell them that I am their healer, that I am their provider. I am. And so, Lord, it's like this hunger comes back and this thirst comes back. And it's like I've been working so long now that I don't know what to do, how to start up again, how to get back into that gear. And and the Lord says to me, it's in you. It's in you. You just wait on me. It's going to happen. This week, I was talking to my mom. I visit my mom often. She lives by herself right here on 17th Street. She's 78 years old, and she's a miracle. She's just a miracle grandma. And she had a brain aneurysm. I had some testimonies about 12, 11 years ago. And it's a very uncommon aneurysm. It's a big one that she had right here in the front, right here. But she was able to, as she was having her aneurysm, crawl to the telephone and dial 911. That very same hour, I was preaching in Hequity because my wife and I, my kids, were still pastoring there. And the strangest thing I felt as I was preaching that morning, I'll never forget it. I would say to my wife and to some other members there, I just feel funny. I feel as though, well, I'll tell you how I feel. I feel as though my body is here, but my spirit is not here. How is that possible? I don't know. But that's what I felt. Anyway, my mom, as she was going through that bleeding of her brain, she said that someone was there with her saying, Mom, we love you. Mom, get up. Go to that phone and dial 911. She said that she would hear that over and over again. And that voice was what made her get up and reach for that phone. The front door was locked. The back door was locked. After she dialed 911, she barely made it to the front door and unlocked the front door. So when the paramedics arrived, they can just walk in the house. Soon after that, after she had vomited and had all kinds of diarrhea all over the toilet because of the bleeding of the brain. I mean, listen, this is unheard of. Unheard of. It's a miracle. Year after year, and as I was teaching and preaching the Bible and the Word of God, the Lord would say to me, because you do this, I take care of your own. And it's like, it's an amazing testimony that my mom has. She had a brain aneurysm. We didn't find out till that night, that same day. We didn't find out my mom was in Phoenix already. Flown via helicopter from Douglas, Tucson, and from helicopter from Tucson to Phoenix. I didn't find out till I think it was 9:30 at night. Barbara had called Hecory And one of my, we didn't have a phone. And one of my members said, you know, Barbara called, said your mom was going through some trouble. I don't know exactly what. So I walked over to her house. And so I talked to Barbara. Your mom had a brain aneurysm. And she said, Dad, I didn't know what it was. My mind was like, it went blocked. It went blank. And then I remember, I remember now what it is. Okay, thank you so much. So we hung up and I went back to the house and Susan was still there. Remember Susie? She was still there. And so I knew that my mom was in trouble. And so we decided to go to Douglas and I said to Susie, since you're still here, let's get in a circle and pray for my mom that she rise up. And as we prayed, we were in a circle and the Holy Spirit said to me, tell your mom to wake up. And I said, Lord, what do you mean tell my mom to wake up? So I just obeyed the Lord and said, Lucila Caperon Cerrato, I say to you, wake up in Jesus' name. Well, it turns out that my mom had fallen into a coma. So when we drive all the way to Phoenix the next day, I could overhear the doctors say, we don't know how. This is unheard of. This is the words they said. I don't know how this woman woke up. She was in deep coma. And I said, I know how. I know how she woke up. She had 5% chances of walking out of there totally healed. 95% of becoming a vegetable or not able to see or hear or speak or anything like that or paralyzed, you name it. 95% of it. And I would say to my religious brothers, you know, she's going to walk out of here totally healed. Guess what happened? She walked out of there totally healed. But you know what else happened? My brothers, who are much older than I am, well, not that much maybe, they're older than I, they got so angry at me for saying those words of faith. What I'm trying to say here is that we need to speak forth God's word with boldness. And my older brothers who were brought up Catholic as I was would say, you cannot say that. You don't know what the doctor said. The doctor said this, that, and the other. Oh, she's not out of the woods yet. It's a battle. Not only did the devil attack my mind, but he was using my very own family against me. It's just a battle. It's a battle. The war has already been won. But the battle we must fight on with what we say. I think Calvin said the last time he preached, you know, he said the faith of Abraham. He said he called those things that were not as though they were. And that's what we have to be. You know, we are triumphant. We are victorious. That's you. That's me. That's the church. We have it on the inside of us. That when we call upon on the name of Jesus, all of heaven backs you up. It's just most powerful. Oh, when I was at my mom's house the other day, I began by saying that I just had to, because we call her Miracle Grandma. She told me something that blessed me so much that brought tears to my eyes. She said, you know, in November, remember how I would tell you, Reuben, that I had my left arm was in pain and my thigh was hurting. And did you know that this was back in November, that your brother Memo, when I told him that my arm was hurting and my thigh was hurting, I asked him, did you know my left arm is hurting? And Memo, you all know Memo, right? He got up, laid his hands on her shoulder and prayed for her and got healed. I said, Mom, this is back in November and you're just now telling me? Oh my God. That's wonderful. That's powerful. It don't matter who you are. You call upon the name of Jesus in faith. To this day, my mom says my arm is healed and my hip is healed. She said I was totally healed and your brother Memo prayed for me. Yeah. Oh, wow. I said, woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's like, wow. That just blesses me so much, Mom. It don't matter what it looks like. God can do the impossible during an impossible time in your life. He can and will. But His hand is only moved by faith. And we all have it. That's the good news. We all have it. I don't know if some of you knew that I tried to change jobs recently because I wanted to be here close to home. And I got a job at B&D, started working there in November. And I was only there 2 months. But I still had I had two jobs. I had my Bisbee job and here. And so we were hired. It was me, Virginia, and another girl named Lupita. Well, anyhow, when I started to work there, this Virginia, and I forget her last name, bless her heart, she would walk around. She could not breathe. And she said, oh. And I would say, what's wrong, Virginia? Oh, we became such good friends. I only knew her for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or so, maybe a month. And she says, it's my asthma, she says. Oh, you have asthma? Yes. But it looks like you're having trouble breathing. She said, yes. Can I pray for you? Please do. Did you know Jesus can heal you? And so I prayed for her and nothing happened. And she, every day I would talk to her about the word and that Jesus was the answer. It wasn't every day that she was like this, but she was always a very tired woman. And she would say to me, Reuben, in my heart, you're just going to make it here. You're just such a kind man. You're just going to make it here. I feel it in my heart. And I felt it too, like this connection with her. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are the sons of God. And we just connected. About a week later, she didn't show up for work because she was sick. And it broke my heart because she couldn't make it to work or anything. And she called into work. I happened to be close to the phone and I answered it. And I said, hi, Virginia, is this you? Yes, hi, Reuben. Is the boss there? No, she's upstairs. Do you want me to get her? No, but let me tell you first what's going on. And she said, Reuben, I was just diagnosed with a heart, something that was wrong with my heart. And one of the valves is bad, and they're going to do a routine surgery on my heart. Oh, she said, would you please pray for me? Yes, I will. But go ahead and get the boss. So I got the boss, and she spoke to the boss. Said she wasn't going to come in a few more months. But the things she told me were this. Oh, I just can't wait to go through the surgery and be back to work with you guys. Especially with you, Reuben. You're so kind with me and stuff like that, you know? She didn't make it. She passed and went on to be with Jesus. This broke my heart like in a million pieces. This dear woman, Virginia, the one I was ministering to, the one I was believing God that he would heal her body totally. The woman that needed healing not only in her physical heart, but in her spiritual heart. Because she had been divorced and her husband was mean to her. I am telling you that we need to be bold with the word of God. It don't matter what they say. I don't know how many times they've told me you cannot preach at work. But I'm telling you that you can. Because I have done it. I don't know where you guys work, but maybe they don't allow it. But I can. I have done it. When Virginia passed, my heart was still connected to her heart. And first, it's just like, it was like I went to work and I could still, like in my spirit, feel her. I don't know, it's something I never felt before. And we got so close. She was an older, she was like 45 years older. So it's like, Lord, how did this happen? And what does this mean? I mean, I was believing in faith for this woman. But she went on to be with Jesus. And I'm here to tell you tonight that it don't matter what it looks like, that you in that impossible situation can overcome anything. And there's a story that I came across today, and it's about King Hezekiah. Let's go over there to Isaiah 38. I still have 15 minutes. Let's go to Isaiah 48. I was going to read something else, but I'll go to Isaiah. Isaiah 38, I'm sorry. You know, Isaiah was, he was not a perfect man, like we're not a perfect, you know. And listen what happened to Isaiah. Hezekiah, I'm sorry. The book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, chapter 38. And we're going to read about Hezekiah. And this, when I read this today, it's like, it just ministered to me. That it's never the end. That no situation is hopeless. It's like God was saying to me, hey, it's not over. It's not over for you or anyone else that's in faith. It's not over. You just keep going forward in faith. And look what happened here. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine heart, thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is what God was saying to him through the prophet Isaiah. Imagine that. That's a tough one, you know. And then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He just turned away and prayed and sought the only one that can respond and have mercy on him. And it's amazing what he did. It's just amazing. Because if you think about a king, I mean, he's got counselors, he's got advisors, he's got servants, he's got friends, he's got anyone that he could have gone to for help and say, look, this is happening. What advice do you have for me? But he didn't. The Bible says that he turned away from Isaiah. And he turned to the wall and just asked forgiveness. I don't know what he asked for, but let's read on. He said, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and was perfect and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He just cried and cried and cried his heart. He just cried on out to the Lord and cried and cried and cried. That to me is amazing. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. The Lord was saying to me today, you know, Reuben, it don't matter what it looks like. You've been looking at this person and this other person, and I am guilty because there's people over there where I work. And I would say to myself, Lord, this person right here cannot talk, cannot walk. she looks at you, but you don't know if she's looking at you or what. And I've been guilty and saying in my heart, Lord, why don't you just take this dear, sweet woman? And I said, and the Lord spoke to me today, no, you can't say those things. I have a purpose and I have a plan for even her. He's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us in this room. He wants to us to live it out by faith. You know, I've been repenting all day today. I have. And I will admit that my faith has not kicked in when it should have. It worked. And it's like, it's embarrassing. And I say these things to you in the hopes that this will help you, that, you know, it's not over. Just because people want to give up, we are to stand up and speak that word of faith. And I really don't have much more to say. I have a bunch of scriptures here. You know, Jesus, when he would go and minister, it says, the Bible says he went to his own town of Nazareth. And no one would believe him, his report. No one would accept him because they would say, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this guy the one that grew up with us? Isn't he the one that even his sisters are here with us and his brothers, and his dad is named Joseph and his mother is Mary? And they began to criticize him and say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? The Bible says that he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief, except that he laid his hands on a few sick folks. You know, and I was reading some of those scriptures today where he would actually lay hands on people, and on the people that he laid hands on, he didn't say, you were healed by your faith like he did the others. And I saw that today. Lord, you didn't say that your faith has made you whole to this one or to this other one. But the people that want Jesus are going to come to him. There isn't a day that goes by that someone doesn't come up to Jesus and we turn them away. Calvin said earlier, he said that we need to get the revelation that Jesus is going to do the works through his body. Lay your hands on the sick and speak forth that word. I'm still amazed of my brother Memo. It's like, wow. Faith works. I've heard countless times Calvin say, I think he says it this way. Sometimes we need to repent and get on our knees and let those tears run so that we can get our answer. And I was just reminded of that as Hezekiah. The Lord says, I saw your tears and I heard your prayer and I answered it. I saw your tears and I heard your prayer and I answered it. Can I have some of this, one of these waters? And I believe that tonight, I'm just going to obey the Lord on this. But it's not time. Give me 5 more minutes. Okay? I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Oh, okay, Lord, I'll do that. It's not even in there, but I'll do it. Before I ask you to do for me, let's go to Isaiah 53. Something for me. Let's go to Isaiah 53. It says here, this is where Jesus, you know, is revealed. Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report? You can go to work and look around. There aren't very much people that's going to believe our report, you know. Because I preached at work. And Jesus said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's happened to me so many times as a Christian, as a child of God, as part of the body. And surely he has bore our grief. What I'm talking about is that we've been despised as a body. We have been rejected. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We just are healed already, past tense. This is what I want you to do for me. Like I said earlier, I was attacked in my body like never before. Even before I began to come up here, my head was hurting. What I want you to do is for you to come up and lay hands on me. I have spoke word over my body, but I find myself to be a little weak, faith speaking. And that's all my fault. And I don't want to say I'm in fear, but it has been kind of scary to me, you know. And it's like, oh. So if you would please, all of you, I'll sit right here. Can I sit here, Kel? And I want you to pray for me. If you have something that the Lord gives you to say, and if someone else needs their hands laid upon them, please, please get prayed for. I love you.